Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming out tonight. And thank you all for tuning in online. My name is Wade, for those of y'all that don't know me. And just welcome to Wednesday night Grace Community Church service. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer. I forgot to do that a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to do that again. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your name and learn more about you, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak through me, Lord, and not let anything that's said be of me, but let it be from you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd open hearts and minds to receive it and help us, Lord, lead us and guide us and show us how to apply these things to our life so we can see the change that you want to see in us. And we just give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we talked about being competitive, not really competing with anybody else, but having a mindset where we're always comparing ourselves with other people or other people's things or their achievements. You know, we're in competition with ourselves. And the Bible tells us we'll never be happy comparing ourselves and we'll never be satisfied. And we talked about how when we have a mindset like that, that we drift away from God. And, you know, our relationship with God suffers because of it, and all of our other relationships suffer too because of it. You know, if all we ever think about is what we don't have, we're never going to appreciate the things that we do have. You know, and that can be anything in our life. It can be our vehicles. You know, if all you ever think about is getting a new vehicle, you're probably not going to take care of the vehicle you have because you're not satisfied with it. You know, I heard Joyce Myers one time say, there was a lady in her church just prayed over and over and over, God, I need a new car, I need a new car. And she said God finally spoke back to that lady and said, you treat the one you have now like a dumpster. Why should I give you a new one? You know, it's full of wrappers where you eat in it and trash. And I firmly believe if we take care of the things that God has already given us, then he'll bless us with more. You know, your job, if you're going to your job and complaining all the time and you're not working the way that the Bible tells us to, then, you know, God's not the problem. I mean, God's not to blame for that. That's for us. God tells us in Colossians 3:23 that no matter what we're doing, it says whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And, you know, the same thing is true in our relationships with other people. If all we're doing for is looking fault, or, you know, looking for the faults that other people have, you know, in our spouses or kids or co-workers or our friends, you know, we're going to find them. Everybody has flaws. And if that's all we're looking for, that's all we're going to see. We're not going to see their good qualities. We're not going to see anything good in them because we're blinded by our own negative mindset of finding fault in everything in our lives, people, our things, our jobs, everything about our lives. We have to quit looking for negative because it's too easy to find. We'll always be able to find it. We have to strive to look for the positive things. And today I want to talk about ways we can change our mindset into seeing the good in things and the good in the people in our lives. You know, I said just a minute ago, if we have that negative mindset and we're constantly comparing ourselves, we're never going to be satisfied. I want to go back to a verse from last week. I don't know how I did it, but I gave you a wrong verse last week, and I didn't realize I did it until it popped up there and I read it, and I was like, that don't go with anything, but it was too late to do anything about it at the time. But it goes right along with how we're opening up today. In Proverbs 27 and verse 20, last week I think I gave you verse 21, but it was wrong. Proverbs 27:20, it says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know, hell, there's a verse in Isaiah too. It says hell enlarges itself daily. And it does that because we're not satisfied. And we draw ourselves away from God. And a lot of people are going to hell simply because they're not satisfied with what God's given them. Now, the NLT version of that verse in Proverbs 27:20, it says, just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. So as long as we're comparing, you know, ourselves to other people, the things that other people have, and, you know, trying to change people to match our own desires, we're never going to be satisfied. You know, we talked last week about Paul and how he learned to be content with what he had. In the verses, you know, we read Philippians 4:11-13. God didn't change his circumstances. Paul was still in prison, but he changed his mindset. He said he learned how to be content. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, a lot of people quote that verse like Jesus will pull you out of this. Jesus will get you out of this mess. That's not what it's saying. He didn't get Paul out of his mess. He helped him change his mindset and gave him the strength to get through the mess that he was in. So that's what we need to do when we have bad circumstances, is we need to learn how to be content in the circumstances, just knowing that Jesus is with us in it. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking to us in verses 13 through 16. Wherewith shall it be salted? But to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we're supposed to be bringing glory to God. That's our purpose, you know. We're supposed to be praising God. And we're supposed to be an example to the rest of the world of the joy that we get from knowing God. You know, we can't do that if we're negativity. And especially to the people closest to us, because they get to see the real version of us. So we have to find ways to change our mindset so we can show people the joy of the Lord. You know, I remember about 7 or 8 years ago, my granddaughter was being born, and my daughter lived in South Carolina at that time in a little town called Tiga K. It's right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And she was working in a sandwich shop, and she hated her job. She was telling me about it. She said, I hate thinking about it. I hate it while I'm there. She said, I can't stand the people I work with. As soon as I get off work, I start dreading about going in the next day. And I asked her, you know, well, what would you like to do for a living, you know, if you wasn't working in a sandwich shop? And she said, well, she said, I'm qualified to be a manager at like a car dealership or something. And I said, well, how many applications do you have in at car dealerships? She says, none. I said, well, do you even have a resume? And she said, no. I said, well, nobody's going to find you and give you a job. You got to put some effort into it. I said, get a resume together and, you know, put it out there. Put one out online. And she did that, and she called me like 2 days later, and she got her a job at a Mercedes dealer in Charlotte. She was manager over the service division that quick. And so God answers our prayers, but we have to put some, you know, we got to put some effort into it. And we got to pray. We got to seek God's guidance like we talk about every week in Proverbs 3:5-6. But we have to pray. We have to put in a little bit of effort, put some applications out there, and God will bless you. He blesses effort. Like I said, it wasn't long after that she had a manager's job at that Mercedes dealer. And then I think it was the very next year she moved to West Virginia, and she was doing so well in that job that the area of West Virginia that she moved to, that car dealership had a fellow dealership up there, so they just transferred her job right up there with her. And then just last year, during COVID and everything, everybody quit going to the car lots. And she said she started complaining again, about her job, the same way she did about the sandwich shop. And we had the same talk, except, she was the one who brought it up to me this time about she'd really like to be a pharmacist and go to school to be a pharmacist, but she didn't have the time to do that and work and watch her kids and all that. And I told her, we'll put in some applications and pray about it and stuff. And I think it was the very next day she got to talking to somebody in the hometown where she lives now. They actually are a pharmacist and work in the pharmacy. And she got a job 5 minutes from her house training to be a pharmacist while she works there. So we got to put effort into it. And God blesses it. She works like 5 minutes from her house, and she's not just working there. She's actually in training to be a pharmacist. She already has her practicing license. So I'm real happy for her. So if you're unhappy with your job, think about what you would like to do and pray about it and put in applications for what you would like to do. But until you get that job, you do need to do the very best you can at the job that you have now. God blesses our attitude towards our work. Look at the life of Joseph. His brothers did him wrong. They they attacked him and threw him down into a pit and sold him into slavery. And then he wound up in Potiphar's house. But he knew God was with him, so he worked as hard as he could. And it wasn't long. Potiphar raised him up. He was the head man over Potiphar's house. And then, Potiphar's wife accused him of, being wrong with her. So he got thrown in prison. But even in prison, he faced that knowing that God was with him. He did the very best he could in there, and he got raised up and was at a high level in the prison. And then when he got out of the prison, he was in Pharaoh's castle. And, he did the best he could there knowing that God was with him. And he did it, like it says in Colossians 3:23, as unto the Lord. And God raised him up no matter where he was. I've had dishwashing jobs and stuff. I've had all kinds of menial jobs, but if you work hard at them with a good attitude, before long you'll go up the ladder, and you won't have to ask to be raised up the ladder. God will raise you up the ladder. And I got a good friend right now. He wanted a job in a field that he's called to, and there wasn't even a job. God created him a job. So God listens to your prayers, and he does provide for you. And another thing we have to remind ourselves of is that God is our provider, not your job. If your job don't pay that much, I've had jobs that paid way less money than I was used to making. But I trusted God and did my best. And it was in those times that I had more money than I had when I thought I had the good paying job, because I was trusting God to pay my bills. And he does honor that. Like we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 last week, if you'll seek God first and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Oh, but a lot of times too, we want things to get better, but we don't want to change anything to get to it. If we're going to have change in our lives, that means we have to be willing to change too. We have to be willing to change ourselves. We get so used to it, we get so used to being negative that we can't see the positive. We get comfortable in it. We get ourselves in a rut. And You know, I've been in a lot of ruts in my lifetime. One time I remember back when I was still married, you know, I was really unhappy at work. I was really unhappy, you know, with my drinking, and I was just unhappy with everything, and so was my wife. But, you know, we weren't going through anything together. I wasn't really unhappy with her. I loved her to death. I was so unhappy with myself and everything else in my life that I just got depressed. You know, I wasn't mean to her or anything, but I didn't have any joy to give her. You know, I wasn't there for her. I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to do anything. But she was the same way. You know, she wasn't happy with her life either. And she didn't really have anything to give me. So we were both just unhappy in our own things. And we never worked on anything together. In the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, if we don't work on things daily together, they will pile up and they will separate you, you know, especially in marriages. You know, if you're not talking to your spouse and communicating with your spouse, you will separate. It's just a matter of time. We have to take these things to God and we have to talk about them together, or they do pile up. And one of the main things I know I've told y'all before is get them while they're still small. You know, that's why daily confession is so important. If we get things while they're small and we don't let them build up, then they're easy to take care of. But if we ignore them and just leave them there and let them fester, pretty soon you got a whole big old mess you got to deal with. You know, just like we have to make time for the Lord, we have to carve out time in our day to study His Word and to pray to Him and talk to Him and keep our relationship good with God. We have to do the same thing, you know, for our spouse, for our friends, for our family. We got to schedule time if that's what you have to do. Put it in your schedule. And if anybody asks you, can you do this? Nope, my schedule's full right then. You don't even have to tell them why. Just tell them your schedule is full. And that works. I had to start doing that. And just like we need to stay confessed up to the Lord to keep that relationship healthy with Him, we have to be honest in our relationship with other people. You know, if we have bad feelings toward them, we need to get them out. You know, don't hold it in. Holding it in does not help. But most importantly, we gotta spend time together. You know, if you're not around each other, life changes you every day. And if you don't see each other for weeks, you know, you get to the point you don't even know each other, especially spouses. So, you know, we gotta, in friendships and spouses and marriage, children, everything, we gotta let each other talk about your day and really pay attention and see how their day was and really listen. And I found this to be very true in friendships and any kind of relationship. There is power in praying together before the Lord. You know, there's tremendous power in that, because if you both humble yourselves before the Lord and ask Him for help, He'll meet you right there. You know, pray with your kids, pray with your friends. And not only does it show them that you love them enough to do that, it shows you your true feelings of what's inside of you. Because, you know, when you are doing that and you're praying together with somebody to God, what's inside of you is going to come out. You know, but are you willing to pray? Like I said a minute ago, we got to be willing to change ourselves. Are you willing to pray with somebody? Are you willing to humble yourself and admit when you're wrong? And, you know, a lot of people are not willing to humble themselves. They just want to complain. And, you know, you can't expect any change if that's all you want to do is complain about things. We have to be willing to change. You know, just saying you're sorry goes a long way in any relationship. If you've been in a rut for a long time and you don't know how to get out of it, I know how you feel. You know, I was in a rut for years, and God will help you out of it if you ask Him, but you do have to be willing to make a change. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it talks about how people, you know, they perish without a vision. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. God wants you to be happy. You know, if you're unhappy, tell him. You know, like we always talk about almost every week, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says to acknowledge God in everything. You know, don't lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in everything and trust him, and he will direct you. And ask God to show you why you're unhappy. A lot of times, you might be unhappy and you don't even know why. But if you ask God, he'll show you. And I think another thing we need to be doing is to make some plans. Think about something you really want to do and work towards it. You know, we get so caught up in being parents or, you know, taking care of our kids. We get caught up in our job. We get caught up in our problems and we get consumed with them. We don't do anything that makes us happy. I'm very guilty of that. I get too busy to do stuff, you know. Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, I made a joke out of that all last year, but that's the truth. A lot of us are unhappy simply because we don't do anything we enjoy doing. So I think we need to make some plans of something we really want to do and work towards it. You know, when we get in a rut, I know all of us have dreams or things that we want to do, things that we planned on doing for years but never got around to them. And when we get in a rut, you know, all those dreams and all them plans, they just seem so distant and, you know, they just grow dim and we act like they're never going to be able to happen. We just can't even see them anymore. That's when, you know, every day, every week just starts to look the same to us. That's how we get into a rut. I told you before while I was going through Renovatus, you know, Pete Higgs used to tell me all the time, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So you have to change something. You know, I've had a motorcycle sitting in my driveway for years. I think it's about 4 years now. And I was all excited when the guy gave it to me. And I still have never rode it. Not one time have I rode it. I was so excited when I got it. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. I was going to ride it here, ride it there. But I just went right back to being busy. I got busy, and I still haven't rode it. But God convicted me, you know, while I was studying for this message. And that, you know, that kind of woke me up, and he showed me that I'm in a rut right now, you know. Got to shake things up a little bit and do something. Do something about it. And like I said, that convicted me. So I went Friday of last week, and I ordered the parts that I needed to fix it. I knew what I needed to do, like I said, for about 4 years now. I just didn't make the time or take the time to do anything about it. And another thing, last year I spent every spare minute that I did have trying to keep my yard mowed. Every time I would go to mow, one time the motor blew up on my lawnmower, so I didn't get to mow it. And then the next week, I had to rebuild the mower and then get it running again. And then a week later after that, I'd hit something and bend the blade. It was all summer long, I couldn't get my yard mowed, and that just tore me up every week. And my yard looked stupid all year too, because I could get like one little chunk of it mowed, and then the mower would mess up, and all my neighbors was looking at me like I was crazy because my yard looked crazy. But I never could get my whole yard mowed all year long, and God kind of convicted me of that too. So this year, I fixed everything that was wrong on my mower, and I gave it to somebody else, and I hired a guy to mow my yard this year. That way, I'm not worried about it anymore. So if there's anything that you can, take off your plate, take things off your plate. And, start making some time to do things that you want to do. There's a lot of things in your life that stress you out every day that you could take care of pretty easy, just like me getting rid of that lawnmower. Now I don't worry about it no more. And, my yard looks good, and it gives me a little free time. I know y'all have heard this verse. James says in chapter 2, verse 17, says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And I think, you know, if faith without works is dead, you know, vision and dreams without action are dead. They're going to die if we don't do anything with them. You know, I think God gives us visions. He gives us dreams. But if we don't do anything with it, that's on us. God wants us to have fun. So we need to constantly be setting goals for ourselves. You know, just it don't have to be something big and major. We could set little small goals for ourselves. And give us something to look forward to, you know. God didn't design us to be robots and just go through the same old motions every week, the same routine every day. And we have to watch ourselves, because that is the easiest trap there is to fall into. We got to get up and do something. You know, we wonder why we get depressed. It's because we don't do what's necessary to see our hopes fulfilled. Back to Proverbs again, in chapter 13 and verse 12. You know, we talked about guarding your heart a couple of weeks ago. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes your heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. You know, when we have these hopes and dreams and we don't do anything about them, it makes our heart sick. That's, you know, I don't know what else you would call that other than depressed. It makes your heart sick. And, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody here has had their heart, you just feel sick about it. You know I have. But the last part of that verse says it's when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. You know, God wants us to have goals. He knows how much it lifts us up when our desires are met. He talks about that in Psalm 37, verses 1 through 5. And it's talking about, you know, don't compare yourself to others. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It don't say you'll bring it to pass, he'll bring it to pass. That sounds exactly like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Get everything to him, involve him in the things you're doing. You know, God wants to give you your heart's desire. He wants you. That's why he says, keep your ways committed to the Lord and trust him. You got to believe he's going to do something if we just put our trust in him. You know, when we let our circumstances get us down, that's just the enemy saying that God's not going to do anything. That's the enemy. You're on your own and nothing's going to change. That's why we talked about inside of us. So we'll have something to fight. You know, we don't need to just read it. We need to believe those things. Bad and negative and making us feel hopeless, that those things are not from God. God don't ever tell anybody anything to bring them down. You know, about discouraging and negative, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, I don't think anybody in here is ignorant to the way the devil works. So time we have to realize that's not from God. That's from the enemy. Give him the satisfaction of dwelling on. We got to realize that's him, and we need to take and stop him. You know, don't give the enemy a foothold. We need to tell God how we truly feel and bring those negative thoughts to him. We've talked about this verse before too, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity all obedience of Christ. God's not going to try and depress us. He's not going to try and put you in a bad mood or make you feel less than anybody else. We know that's the enemy. So we need to take those things to God. But we have to replace those thoughts with good thoughts too. You know, you can't just stop thinking about something. If you got something on your mind, you have to replace it with something. I'm not saying ignore your problems. Problems are real. And everybody has problems. But we don't have to dwell on them. We can replace those thoughts with good thoughts. Like I said, read Psalm 23 or something and think about God's promises. All his promises are true. You know, sometimes I just like to look at verses in the Bible that make me laugh and help me get my mind out of being so serious all the time. You know, life sometimes gets hard and it makes you serious, and you don't have any joy when you're serious and negative. So sometimes you just got to take a break for a minute and being so serious and so hard. And, one of my favorite verses that makes me laugh is in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's talking about the prophet Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, the one that came after him. Elisha just had went to heaven, so now Elisha had some followers, and they were following him. And he's like, hey, come up here in this mountain, and we're going to build this thing for you, so we'll have a place to hang out and all that. And Elijah said, okay, go ahead and build it. And that's what we're picking up here. In 2 Kings 6, we'll start off in verse 4, he says, so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim. I always think that's just neat. Think about an axe head floating in the water. You know, everybody's freaking out because the head flew off the axe and went in the water, and he's like, he just threw a stick in there and then floated up to the surface. I think that's really neat. I could sit and think on that for hours. You know, that's the power of God. And I like this one too. It's in 2 Kings. It's about Elisha too. And it's pretty funny. In chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, it says, as he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on him, and he cursed him in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40 and two children of them. I did a study on Elisha one time. It said he was real short and heavyweight and bald. So he was a real short, fat guy, and all them kids running out of the woods laughing at him. He's like, make fun of me, would you? So I always thought that was pretty funny. There's a lot of stuff like that in the Bible you can read, and it'll, you know, if you got a heavy heart, it'll lift your heart. But you got to get in the Bible and read it to find those things. You know, it says in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up your bones. And that is true. You know, it's good to laugh. If all we ever do is deal with problems and focus on what's wrong, you know, it leads us away from God. His word said right there that worry dries up our bones. And I do know what it feels like. I know all of you do too. Everybody in here has been stressed out about something to the point where you just feel dried up inside. You know, but God's word says, in Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3, it said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And he, whatever he does, he'll prosper. So if we worry, you know, we're going to, it dries up our bones. And I hate feeling like that, feeling like there's no hope and this is never going to change. But if we keep our minds on God, he keeps us from getting dried up. He keeps us watered, you know. And you want to share more with other people when you're in a joyous mood. You want to make them laugh too. You know, laughter is contagious. I know we've had a lot of really bad situations around here in the last year. And I think humor is one of the things that's helped us keep going. If all you ever do is serious all the time, that'd drag anybody down. I want to share another funny story with you. I think this one's really funny. In the book of Numbers, this is about a guy named Balaam. They're trying to get him to curse the children of Israel. And God's telling him not to do it, but he's disobeying God for money. So he's on his way right now. He's going to do that, even after God told him not to. So in Numbers 22, we'll start off in verse 21. It says, so the next morning, Balaam got up and saddled his donkey and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry that Balaam was going, so he sent an angel of the Lord to stand in the road to block his way. As Balaam and the two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey bolted off the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. In verse 24, it says, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by, and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so Balaam beat the donkey again. He keeps on beating his donkey. Then the angel of the Lord moved farther down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. So the donkey's talking to him now. It says, what have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times? It asked Balaam. You've made me look like a fool, Balaam shouted. If I had a sword with me, I'd kill you. I think he's making himself look like a fool yelling at a donkey. But I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Have I ever done anything like this before? And no, Balaam admitted. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam bowed his head and fell down on the ground before him. I think that's hilarious. See him out there arguing with a donkey. That's so funny. You know, like I said, we're always going to have problems, but we have to realize that the burden of our problems belongs to the Lord, if we belong to Him. That's why I keep going back to, you know, we have to keep ourselves committed to God. We got to be committed for God, to God, and that way we can trust that God is committed to us. You know, we are His sheep. I heard one preacher put it this way. He said, you know, sheep are not pack animals. You never heard anybody say they're going on a big safari, so they need to rent some pack sheep. You know, they're not designed to carry a burden. All a sheep has to do is follow the shepherd. You know, it's the shepherd's job to provide. He provides, he protects, you know, he cares for his sheep. You know, so let's truly take our cares and our burdens to the Lord, like it says in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your cares on the Lord, because he cares for you. And he really does care for you. So we need to stop taking all our problems and our frustrations out on the people we're supposed to be loving and encouraging. And, you know, we need to take those things to God, because if we don't, you know, it's just a matter of time before we get overwhelmed with them. And that don't make you a weak person. That's any person, you know. If you are overwhelmed right now, you know, that don't mean you're weak. That means you're not designed to carry that, you know. We're sheep. We're supposed to take it to God. So let's take those things to God, and let's start setting goals and things that'll bring some positivity into our lives. If there's nothing positive in your lives, make a goal to do something that'll bring some positivity into your life. You know, if you're sitting at home and you don't have any friends, or you're miserable because you're always by yourself, get out. Start coming to church. Get involved. There's stuff to do. You know, we have to choose to be happy, and we have to work towards it. You know, it don't ever come naturally. You don't naturally sit around and get happy. We have to choose to be happy. You know, the only thing that comes naturally is problems in this world. You know, Paul said he thinks himself happy. You know, he was in prison in Rome. And then Acts 26 in verse 2, this is Paul. They finally got him in front of the king in Rome, which is where he wanted to go all along. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. You know, Paul, even though he's in prison, he's happy. He thinks himself happy. He chooses to be happy because he gets to share the gospel in Rome. You know, he don't care that he's a prisoner. His desire, all the way back to the first of his ministry, was to be able to share the gospel in Rome. And that's what he's getting to do. So he thinks himself happy. So let's trust God and choose to be positive people that really do bring glory to God like we're supposed to, by showing people our God really is an ever-present help in time of need. You know, that's one of my favorite verses, is Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength. The problem is, most of the time when we get in trouble, we try to handle it ourselves. You know, we got to get in the habit of taking all our cares to God and cast them on him. You know, we're not designed to carry those things, even if they're little things. You know, if you get enough little things in your arms for long, it's too much to carry, and you start dropping some of it, and it wears you out. But like I said, we're not pack animals. We're sheep. So that's all I have for tonight. I hope that helps somebody to get some joy in your life and take a little bit of the stress out of it. I know it has me, and that just those two little things I was telling you about. Just making some plans to get my motorcycle fixed, and, you know, making arrangements where I'm not worried about my yard all the time anymore. And I think when God sees you trying to make changes in your life that'll make you happier and less stressful, he'll help you do that. You know, they let me know last week here at the church, they're going to start giving me another day off a week. Because they said, you only got that one day off? And I was like, yeah. Up till this point, I believe they thought I had already had 2 days off. And I never said anything to anybody, but, you know, God notices stuff like that when you're getting overwhelmed and stuff. And when he sees you trying to do something about it, God will get right in there with you, and he'll do something about it too. So it's important that we keep God involved in our daily lives. You know, he's not just a Sunday, Wednesday God. He's with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's even watching over you while you sleep. So involve God in your life and be honest with him and look for things that'll bring you some joy. And God will help you do that. But that's all I got this week. Thank you all again for coming out. And I guess I'll close this in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for helping me to share this message. And Lord, I pray that you'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. And I pray that somebody that's down and out and in a rut, I pray that this will help them. I know it sure helped me, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to just ever remind ourselves that you are faithful and that you want us to be happy. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.